Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, do abandoned hospitals hold the spirits of those who perished in them? What do the spirits want? And can they ever find peace?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in and share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear your ghost story. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on, and to help keep this thing on the air, we have something called EPP, Extra Podcast Person, and we'd love you to be one of them. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories. And for $5 a month, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. You also get access to advanced episodes of the program and a whole hell of a lot more. It's all there, ghostpodcast.com and patreon.com/realghoststories. That is what supports this thing and keeps it on the air. I know times are really tough at this moment for all of us, but if you got $5 and you enjoy the program and you'd like to see it continue, please consider doing that, because that is what is indeed keeping this on the air. This is what I do. This is my job. So I appreciate you allowing us to continue doing this. Tony and Carol Hughes, let's go over to our first story of the evening, and let's talk about ghosts and things like that that aren't as scary as the world. Starts out, it says, I don't know, this is a crazy world. In southeastern Oklahoma, there is what is now an abandoned Native American hospital. It was originally constructed in the early 1900s as a tuberculosis sanatorium. After the TB epidemic subsided, it was used as a hospital, complete with inpatient care, outpatient clinical, surgical services, emergency rooms, and so much more. My mother was a nurse there when I was younger, and I had always heard the ghost stories about Fred. Although I believed in spirits, it never crossed my mind to be afraid when I went into the nursing profession myself. I started working night shift at that same hospital in 1992. There were always unexplained things happening, but I believe my most memorable was working on the med-surg floor late one night. The evening had started off normal. It was a low census night, so no one was feeling particularly stressed or overworked. At around 11, the emergency room called us with an admission. It wasn't anything critical, so it was agreed we would get the room ready and let them know when to bring the patient up to us. Now, the nurse and I went in to set up with all the supplies, IV pulled, put the linens on the bed. The room was cold. I'd never gone over to the wall unit that was in the room and turned on the heat. It wasn't a cool night. It was a little unusual, but I didn't think anything about it and just went up on about the setup. After we were done, the other nurse went to the desk to call ER and let them know to bring up our admission. I waited at the room, putting out water and tissues, just basic things, and suddenly an overwhelming smell hit me like a brick. The smell automatically made me think of blood. It had the metallic smell like blood tastes, although there was no one else in the room. It was a ward of 3 other beds, and I thought maybe there was a dirty bed behind one of the curtains. I started checking each area, and they were all clean. I stepped out of the room and the other nurse was just over on her way back. I had to go in and see what she thought, and when she stepped in, her nose wrinkled up and she asked me, "What is that smell?" I told her I wasn't sure, but I thought it had a distinct smell of blood. She agreed it did have a blood smell. She too went to check the other areas. I told her I already checked the rooms and all the beds were clean. We checked under beds and everything, and we heard the elevator, so we went out to meet our new patient and allow the ER nurse to head back downstairs. When we rolled the patient into her room, she asked, "What is that smell?" "Smells like death." We told her we weren't sure, but we would get her some air freshener to bring it to her. As I was doing her intake physical, the smell started to fade away. I got her settled in, pulled her curtain, turned out the lights, and headed back to the nurse's station. I made it about halfway back and heard a scream that sent me running back to her room. When I turned on the light, my patient was up at the head of her bed, hugging the wall. When she saw me, she dropped down on her bed and cried. She said she had heard someone behind the curtain and thought it was me coming back for something I forgot. She said that she had asked, "Did you forget something? Come on in." She said when the curtain pulled back, she again smelled something metallic, and what was there wasn't a person. She called it a black entity. It had no distinguishable figures. I'd never seen anyone so terrified. I kept frequent check on her throughout the rest of my shift, but she refused to turn off her light to draw the curtain. I worked there for several years and had many encounters. Even though this incident didn't happen to me directly, it was my most terrifying experience at that facility. The tribe that ran the hospital has since built a new facility, and the old one has been abandoned and sits fenced in. I haven't met many people that worked or stayed there that do not have a story to tell about their encounter with a spirit. Creepy story about an abandoned or abandoned facility.
If I was like, okay, it's bad enough you have to go in the hospital. They take you into a room and you say, "What's this smell? This room smells like death."
Yeah.
And if they say, "We'll get an air freshener," I'd be like, F that.
Plug it in.
It smells like death. Did you not hear that part? Like, I don't think an air freshener is going to help.
Amazing what Glade can do.
I think a priest might do better. Like, what? The poor woman. It's not bad enough that she had to come from the ER into the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's horrifying.
It's interesting, you know, reading these stories now, because we're kind of having a different perspective on some things. With everything going on in our world right now.
This is not COVID-19.
Well, and I'm not trying to be morbid or anything, but I'm looking at some of these things. And, you know, for years we've talked about these stories of, this was an old TB hospital, tuberculosis hospital.
Oh,
and then eventually they turned
that
it into
an old COVID-19 hospital down the road.
That's what I'm talking about is... You know, many, many, many years from now, is that going to be part of our story where, oh, this is one of those, you know, they originally had to construct this for that, and then they, because there's so many old hospital buildings, many are now abandoned or they don't, you know, they're out of commission because they are that old. But for many years, they were the active hospitals in many communities because
I drove by one of those really old abandoned hospitals yesterday. Yeah. Because I took my dog for a ride in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we went out for 2 hours and we just went through little towns and stuff. Just drove. And I came across one of those. And I'm like, I don't think you could pay me to walk in that hospital.
Yeah.
And the town itself, maybe 500 to 800 people.
Sure.
And back in the day, you know, this was a pretty good-sized hospital.
And that's what brought hospitals to a lot of rural communities, was the fact they needed these TB hospitals. And then after the fact that finally subsided, they had the facilities and like, oh, well, we'll make it into the local hospital. And, you know, it's a very interesting time in our country. We were talking about this off the air beforehand. So many rural communities don't have hospitals anymore. They've deemed them to be too expensive to run and you can't do it. And so they're gone. And right now we're going to be looking at reopening some of those. And are they going to be COVID-19 hospitals? And it's a weird, weird place when I'm always trying to connect dots with history and current times and going, well, how is this going to look, you know, 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road? What are we going to be looking at this as in hindsight? And It's interesting because we hear these stories now, like I said, where we're talking about the TB hospitals and oh, spooky and this or that. But we're in a very real situation right now where this is what those people were experiencing at that point in time. And many of us can't put ourselves there or couldn't put ourselves there mentally to understand what that was like or what they were feeling when you have something like this sweeping through your population. And hope to God we never would, but we are there. And that's what I think makes some of these stories even more real than they ever have been before. And that's my creepy little rant.
Creepy. It's all creepy.
I know.
It's just, I don't know. It's scary.
Yeah, it is.
That's why talking about ghosts doesn't seem so scary right now.
Exactly. Let's escape back into that.
Well, that was scary.
It was. And those settings are always creepy. I'm sorry. It's hard not to get off and talk about these things. This is almost like my therapy as well at the same time doing this show. So being able to talk is important. And I know you are here to escape, so I'm sorry for going off too much, but it all kind of ties together. Let's jump into our next one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, hi, I watch your show all the time. I love it. I'm amazed at times at what stories, orbs and stuff people encounter because I'm surrounded by them all the time. I have countless videos and photos of orbs that are always at my house, mainly my bedroom. This has been a long time thing with me. I saw ghosts when I was a child about 10 years ago. I moved into an apartment. Within months of moving in, things started to happen. I felt watched. I was literally held down in my bed and was not able to scream. I'd feel someone sitting on my bed. One night I felt an arm go under my back and I knew I felt someone next to me. After that, I put my bed in the living room and would not sleep in the bedroom for 2 years. The three fluorescent lights in my house just stopped working for no reason. They were unfixable. I went to a medium. She said that I was surrounded by spirits, and she asked if I had fluorescent lights stop working in my house. I was shocked that she knew. She said that it was a man. It was no good. She described him and told me I had to go through an exorcism, if you will, with as many friends as possible because he was strong and wouldn't leave easily. We had to do it twice. She came to my house and said he was gone and that my house was full and busy. She told me I was sensitive and that spirits are attracted and attached to me. She said she didn't feel anything negative and it was okay. I lived there until this past March, and I have so many videos from that apartment that are full of orbs. Any time of day or night, you can see them. The bad entity was physical at times, pushing, pinching, things coming off the walls, TV turning on and off. I've listed a lot of loved ones in the last, or lost a lot of loved ones in the last few years. When my cousin died, I found a penny that day and still find them constantly everywhere. My cousin passed, and then it was dimes, sometimes both together. My mom started to find them as well. We moved in March because my mom had dementia, and we didn't want her alone anymore. The dimes and pennies were showing up daily. Our cousin, who was the sister of the penny thrower, was helping in between our work hours. We were all seeing a little black mass going across the living room every day. A month after moving, we found out my mom had stage 4 cancer. The day I was told by the doctor in the hospital as I was leaving, I looked down and right next to her hospital bed was a penny and a dime. I took a photo to send to my sister. After looking at it later, I realized to my surprise that there was an 8-second video. And on that video were the coins. And my mom said, I see a light. And as clear as day, there's a whisper saying, she's a peach. I almost dropped my phone. I was stunned. Soon after, she was always seeing a man named Edward and one named Albert. My cousin that was helping became sick, went to the hospital and found out she was full of cancer as well. She passed away a month later and we never saw the little mass again. Was it waiting for her? We think so. My mom began to see lots of people just walking back and forth in the kitchen. Hospice told us that was normal and people were coming for her. My mom passed a week after my cousin. Ever since I moved here, all the orbs came as well. I have multiple pictures and videos. There have been some loud crashing noises we can't explain and TVs turning on. This photo below that the photo I'm sent in was taken after my mom passed away. in the house. Thanks for reading my story. I don't have the photo handy. I wish I did to take a look at that. But I will take a look at that at some point. But very common to hear stories like that about folks in hospice situations and towards the end of life in general, having visitors.
But man, that person been through a lot.
Yeah.
But the whole penny thing, I am so all about the penny thing.
What is that?
Well, I don't know, because I never found pennies before. And then after my dad died, it was my youngest sister said, I keep finding pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why would you find pennies? What? I'd never heard that.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, haven't you ever heard about that? And so she was explaining, you know, like, I think they're from dad. And then, like, damn, right away, like, by the next day, I started finding him. And I have found them at the most interesting places and interesting times, like times when I really, really, really was upset or something going on and I was dealing with a lot. And I looked down, stand there, look down, there's a penny by my foot. It's just,
yeah.
And I don't know what that is, but to this day, I still find them all the time. And I pick them up and I always take them with me. I don't care if it's heads up, tails up.
Sure.
But I just feel that connection. That's like, I just feel like I can always stop and be like, hey, dad, and a little conversation in my head. And
yeah.
But that's cool, like the penny and dime at the same time. And a video.
Mm-hmm.
That's just cool.
Yeah, I mean, we hear the penny thing a lot, and it's funny because the other episodes I did earlier today, we had pennies on some of those too. So as in true real ghost stories online fashion, we tend to have themes that occur at random, kind of together on days. So if you're listening to some of the previous episodes in sequential order, you'll have heard some of that. It's just interesting to me, like, I'm wondering what is the origin of the penny thing? I believe it's a thing. I'm just wondering, why is it pennies, you know?
I don't know. Somebody randomly, not knowing my thing with pennies,
yeah,
gave me a penny with this Penny from Heaven poem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that's, I can't remember what the poem says, but it's something to the effect of, you know, that's their way of reaching out and telling you they're still there.
Was it the same person that gave you the urn for your undead dog?
No, it was a much more thoughtful person.
Okay, good.
I think that was a. I think we shared that story on
Office.
Another podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if we shared it on this one.
Or we did not. We have not shared it on this podcast. We shared it on Office Horror Stories, the other podcast. And you can hear it over there. Can you give like a? Because this is a totally different audience. Do you want to give like a shortened version of it?
The shortened version is this. I have a very old dog who's 14. And as of right now, he's 14 and 3 months. He's doing great. And for his 14th birthday, I had planned a party on a Sunday. I got party favors and everything for his party. And that Friday before his birthday party, this person I work with is like, I have a gift for you. It's going to make you cry. And I'm like, then don't give it to me. And she did. With that look, that weird, like, oh, this is really going to upset you. And I opened it up, and it was an urn for my dog's ashes. And it had, I'm not crying. I'm just like, this is so absurd. But it had, like, this Rainbow Bridge poem on it.
Yeah.
I started crying so hard. I went to set it down and put it away, and I heard something rattle in it, and she died. Just my hand, my arm, and she goes, there's more. That's an F. And I open it up, and the first thing I saw was this really tiny funnel. And I'm like, what the hell? And I take the funnel out, and then I realize there's a necklace. And so it's for the ashes from my dog so I can wear them. I'm like, you know my dog's not dead. Like, I celebrated his birthday. And my dog is still, like, he's still happy.
Yeah.
3 months ago, she gave me that. And, you know, it's like, and she goes, I know, I cry all the time over my dog. And I'm like, I don't. Not that I don't get upset. It's like, I want to celebrate him every day I can.
Yeah.
Because he's very special to me. But yeah, that's my dog Earn spirit. I offered to give it back. I'm like, you want it?
Oh, really? And how did that go?
She's like, oh, no, you keep it. And I'm like, I told her I can't even look at it. I just want you to know that.
Yeah. Like, it's the most absurd thing to give to somebody when you're doing a birthday for a living thing.
There's plenty of time to come, you know, like once, you know, I know the inevitable, but after that, like, I'm going to need some friends. I get that.
Yeah.
But not beforehand.
No, you don't do that. It's like, oh, welcome to Grandma's 98th birthday. Yay, you're still doing good. Well, I got you.
But here's necklaces. Everybody can put some of her ashes in it when Grandma dies.
She's sitting there trying to enjoy her cake as everyone's like getting out the vials that she's going to be in.
The weird thing was, too, like, that wasn't weird enough, but that she said, well, the idea is you put treats in it now and you give your dog treats so you get used to the fact that your dog is going to die. And I said, I have a 14-year-old dog. That is not escaping me at all. I mean,
yeah,
I don't need a reminder daily.
Oh.
So I guess that by the time he goes, I'm like, woo-woo. I'm so okay with this.
I'm prepared. I have the urn. It'd be like putting little Debbies in the urn of my grandmother before she died.
I gave him treats. I'm all good. I'm just so good now.
Hey, Grandma, you want a little Debbie from your urn? Because that's about the equivalent if you're talking about a person. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
So bizarre.
I love that story.
Not ghost related, but still.
One of the most twisted stories I think we've ever talked about on any program. Not ghost-related, no, but still just twisted as hell. Yeah.
It's creepy.
It is. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's try and get one more call in here before we wrap up.
Hey, my name's Pierre. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a few to talk about, but the main one I want to talk about, or the main two, is once... when I was around, like a lot of people, basically, I was incarcerated. I saw a shadow person, but the shadow person wasn't like all shadow people. He wasn't like 6 feet or 7 feet or anything. He was about 5'9". But the thing that stuck out, no head or anything, just glowing red eyes. And some people say they can't move, but I was able to move, and I knocked on my bunk mate's bed. And I was like, George, you see that? And I know he saw it, but he was like, what the fuck? And so, yeah, I was just trying to get insight on that. And also, once when I was younger, this is one of many stories I've been able to see stuff and feel stuff my whole life. But I also saw this other thing. I don't know if it was a shadow person or what, but it looked like smoke, black smoke rising out of the floor with some kind of cloak thing on. I wish I could tell you guys more about it, but I basically took off running as soon as I saw it. Like, it was around 3-ish in the morning. And like I said, I took off running when I saw that. But in that particular house, I saw a lot of things. A lot of things. Also, one more to squeeze it in. In Savannah, I worked at this place called Kinnickle and the Hyatt. And the Hyatt is like a really old building. Also, Kinnickle is an old building. Kinnickle used to be a boarding school. And it was like a gust of wind or something. After I cleaned the aisle, just came and knocked everything over on the aisle. And that was my last day working there. I quit that day. At the Hyatt, it was just creepy, strange stuff going on. But the thing that stuck out, it was a picture of like some older people that worked there, probably from the 70s or 60s. I don't know. It was on the floor doing banquet, basically setting up for like a prom, putting the floor down. And so, boom, I picked it up. I went downstairs to take a break. I'm the only one that was allowed in banquet. I had the keys to the door. So I go down there, lock the door, go down there, take a break. I come back. The picture is on the floor again in the same spot. And I always felt something in there. Like, I'm not trying to talk too long. So hopefully this can be featured on y'all's show. I listen to y'all almost every day. I've been listening to y'all for about 3 months now.
Thanks for calling in and sharing those experiences with us. You know, we hear a lot about abandoned, haunted prisons and facilities like that. But I think what we don't think about sometimes is, you know, eventually everything changes. Eventually what is current today, what is the current active facility, will someday not be. And we don't necessarily look at some of those more modern facilities and go, I wonder how haunted those are. And
well, what about some of those old prisons? Like, there's a really old prison.
Yeah, they're still active.
Fort Madison, Iowa.
Yeah.
I think it predates the Civil War. Like, it's really old.
Sure.
And I've thought about that before. What about those people in prison who you can't run from it? Like, you're stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, because we always talk about that. Move, get another place, but you can't.
Yeah.
That would be terrifying. But he only mentioned that one time, you know, so I wonder if it happened to him more than once or if it was just that once.
You would think they're probably,
hopefully he wasn't there too long.
You would think they're probably hotbeds of paranormal activity just with the, just the feelings of everyone in there. I mean, you're stuck.
Right?
There's a lot of negativity.
Wouldn't like a prison be someplace that it just seems like there's so much yeah. energy that so many different emotions and
yeah.
anger and hurt and sadness and
yeah.
all of it.
And you're dealing with the living and I think the dead in a place like that. And yeah, I mean, we've heard stories. I've heard stories on the other show on the Grave Talks from prison guards who worked many of these facilities. Some of these very old, like turn of the century facilities that only shut down like in the last 10 years. Some are still even active to this day. And you drive by and you're like, oh, my God, those look at the rock that this thing was built out of. And they were talking about being guards in some of these facilities, you know, up until just a few years ago and the activity that goes on in them. But sometimes I think we assign, you know, if the building looks spooky, you know, it must be haunted. But some of the more right. modern facilities, too, they've been in use for quite some time. And I don't think it even necessarily has to do with the age of the facility. If you have all of that energy concentrated in one area, they could have built the damn thing last month. And I think right. you could start getting stuff going on pretty damn fast. So, yeah.
And then that last story he shared, too, about the picture and then put it back up and came back and it's down again.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Definitely, I would definitely say that gentleman is a sensitive, probably an empath, and you know he feels things stronger than others, and probably will continue to do that. But
because those are three totally different places things yeah. that happened to him.
Yeah, he's got that that ability to feel things. Thank you for sharing that with us, sir. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802. At Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, keep us on the air. I know things are tough right now for everybody, and keeping us on the air, if you like the program, if you can spare $5 a month, we would so much appreciate it in exchange. You get all that bonus content and then some right now. We're trying to go super above and beyond. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories to help support our program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.